is for good men to do nothing. All that is necessary inside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is for good men to do nothing. All that is necessary for a pagan society to rise up is for good men to do nothing. I suggest to you this morning out of the Scripture in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 that we are looking now at verse 9, that we are looking now at a call where John says, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of God and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ Jesus. If I were to say to you, what is a brother? What is a brother? If I looked it up in the dictionary, it would say it was a male sibling, a fellow member, a close male friend, a lay member, a devoted religious worker. But somehow that name brother doesn't get it. Somehow when we begin to look and we read out of the Revelation, when we see the word says brother, it doesn't get it. When John said, I, John, your brother, I can remember witnessing over in Plymouth, over on Plymouth Road for Plymouth Baptist Church, and went in and knocked on the door of a lady. She was kind of an elderly lady, and she said, you know, I remember the time when we were building Plymouth Baptist Church. I went all winter and didn't buy stockings so that I could give money for the building of that church. What was that? Was that brotherhood? Something else happened though. Something else happened. She was not attending church. There was a time in her life in which everything was fired up. She would give it all, but at that time, she was not attending a church. I want to know, where are the brothers? I want to know, where are the people who rise up and stand up? I want to know, where are the men and women who are going to say, I will put my life on the line. That's what's going on in other countries. Men and women who will literally put their life on the line. So, inside of this, I, John. Who is John? You know him. He is the first cousin of Jesus. Who is he? He wrote 5 books out of the New Testament. I, John, who was he? Oh, he was the guy that was standing up there on the top of Mount Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah showed up. Who is John? Oh, he's one of the sons of thunder. He was the guy that when they went into a Samaritan village, the Samaritans would not accept Christ. So he went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire out of heaven? Burn them up? Flame on? Destroy them? Jesus said, no, you don't know what you're talking about, John. But that was John. That was John the beloved. That was John that there in on the time of the Lord's Supper, he was the one who leaned over on the breast of the Lord Jesus and asked him questions. That was John. John was the one that was at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified, and Jesus looked down and said, John, this is your mother. Mom, this is your son. John took care of Mary from that day, that point forth. I, John. So when we start talking about John, John says, look, I know what we're talking about. I know who you are, and I want you to know me. And I want you to know I'm ready to put my name on the line. I'm ready to put it all on the line for Jesus Christ. I, John, who is this? When we start talking about John, John, he's one of the guys in there. When we start talking about persecution, when we start talking about people who are selling out for Jesus Christ, somehow we got to go back and recapture the passion. We got to go back and really recapture, what is God trying to say to us today? How far do I go back? Well, let me go back to the New Testament. Let me go back to the day in which John the Baptist was preaching and told the evil empire, Herod, you are wrong for marrying your brother's wife. And for that reason, he had his head cut off. I go back to Jesus Christ on the cross, nailed there, suffered for your sins and mine, and the blood flowed mingly down. I go back to James, the pastor of the Baptist church there in Jerusalem, in which he, because the Jews wanted somebody dead, they cut his head off and they killed him. I go back to a man named Stephen. Stephen, when he stood up and he was just preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, and because he was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, they took him outside of the city, took stones and stoned him to death, and they laid the cloak at a man named Saul from Tarsus. I go back. I go back and I see these guys. I go back into the Revelation and I find out in chapter 2 and verse 13, a guy named Antipas, who was put to death for the word of God in the city of Pergamos. I go back into the days of the Hebrews, where people went outside of the city with great trouble. I go back into the day of the book of the Revelation, when Polycarp was the pastor of Smyrna, and Polycarp was burned at the stake. I go back to the days of which the book of Hebrews was written, when Ignatius was the pastor of Antioch, and he was condemned to die. And so they took him to the Rome Colosseum, and he was the first Christian to be taken into the Rome Colosseum with wild animals turned loose and literally tore his body to pieces. That's Christians. That's people who've given their life. That's people who signed their name and said, I'm going to put it all on the line. So when I begin to talk about I, John, we know what he's talking about. He is. Who is John? Scripture says, I, John, who am also your brother. Now the word brother, if we carried it a little bit further, we could have said, well, I was your brother on the Mount of Transfiguration, or I was your brother when Peter and I stood before the Sanhedrin. And because we had healed a man, and because we had proclaimed Jesus, when we stood before the Sanhedrin, I was there, and we stood up, and we say, look, I don't know what other men will say, but for us, Acts 4:20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So therefore, we can only speak what we've seen and heard. Therefore, we're going to rise. We're going to stand. If it means prison, then take me to prison. If it means the cross, take me to the cross. If it means giving my head, giving my back, giving my body, then I'm going to put it all on the line. But how does that measure up for us today? How does that measure up for us? Are we willing to put it all on the line? I can remember going into a guy named Leighton Morgan, one of my preacher friends, who died of cancer, and we buried him. But Leighton Morgan, I went into the football stand and said, Leighton, we have this evangelism explosion. We're going to teach people how to win souls. Will you be a part of it? And he said, yes. And from that point forward, it moved him all the way to the cross, all the way to the pulpit. And therefore, he proclaimed Jesus Christ. He put it all on the line. He signed it. Never went to college a day of his life. He signed the line. He proclaimed Christ. And hundreds of people were saved as a result of the ministry that was there. I was there. But was he my brother? Sure, he was my brother. He was my brother when I stood by him that night and we watched Bayless Highway burn down to the ground because of faulty wiring. He was my brother. Stood by him. He was my brother when his son was kicked in the head of a horse and his brain was swelling. He was my brother. He was my brother as we witnessed together, as we shared together. He was my brother. But wait a minute. John said, I, John, your brother. Can we identify with him? Can we identify with John, who today says he's my brother? Now, Jesus wants to give us a good understanding of what a brother is. So why don't we just take a moment and look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. And let's answer the question. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46 and following. While yet he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Let me ask you the question today. Are you a brother? Are you a sister? Are you living and doing the will of God in your life day by day? Jesus said, this is a definition. This is a definition of who a brother is. So the person who will do the will of the Father, that's the brother. That's my sister. Somehow we tend to try to overlook things. And we don't want to come to grips with reality, such as the reality reading out of the Voice of Martyrs on April the 1st, 2008, 10 college students in Hamgyong Book Dongchang in North Korea were recently investigated and arrested for reading a Bible and watching a video CD about the Bible. What? For reading the Bible? What? For watching a video about the Bible? Great God, what's going on? And then we could go to March the 27th. The Voice of the Martyr contact in Laos reported that 8 pastors were arrested when entering Thailand to attend a meeting, had been picked up by the police from their providence and were escorted back to Laos. The police from their providence had taken them back to their providence and put them back in jail. We do not know how long they will be in prison. Hey, that's my brother. That's my sister. And yet this is happening in our world today. And for most of us, we don't even know it's happening. We've got no clue what's going on in the family of God. But what we do know, there's high gas prices. What we do know, there's high rent. What we do know, bread is going up. What we do know, electricity seems like it's getting higher. That's what we know, but wait a minute. What do we know? I think America needs to wake up and say there's something else going on. I, John, you know my past, but let me tell you who I am. I am your brother. Now, do you have the marks of being a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ? There are 3 areas in which we're going to look at to be a brother or a sister in Christ. 3 marks. And we'll pick it up where the scripture says, in John, he said, I, John, we know him, who am your brother and companion in tribulation. What is the first mark of a real brother? The first mark of a real brother is that he is a companion in the pressures of life. Are we willing to get in there and get our hands dirty and get in somebody else's life and experience the pressures that they are going through for the cause of Christ? We as Americans, we like to say, hey, I've got my computer, I got my cable TV, I got my games, I can go home and I can forget about the world. I don't have to feel the pain and suffering of other people. And yet, it's a mark of being a believer. It's the mark of being a brother in Christ when we experience the word companion there means to participate. Participate with others in anything. It's a joint partnership. For instance, 1 Corinthians 9:21, to them that are without the law, as well as without the law, being not without the law, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. That word partaker is the word companion. That I might be of a participant, that I might be a companion, that I might have fruit with you, that I might be a part of your life. But what is that? A part of tribulation? The word tribulation is thlipsis, which means pressure, being pressed together, going through affliction. Wait a minute. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to feel that. We've got enough. That's the reason why we take so many stinking pain pills, because we don't want the pressures of life. We don't want to feel pain. We don't want to feel anything else. We want to be just totally at peace and just feel, oh, I want to just feel good by myself. And if there's anything in my world, I don't want to feel it. Wait a minute. A brother in Christ is the one who's going to feel the pressure. A brother in Christ is the one who's going to take companionship. A brother in Christ is going to be the one who's going to stand up in the church and say, I'm going to open up my home for Jesus Christ. I don't know about others, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A secular society, you're in it. Your kids are not going to find Christ at school. Many of your kids are not even going to go to church. That's what's happening in our world today. Where are the people going to find Christ? If they don't find it in the home, they're going to become a part of that secular society. Where's it got to be? It's got to be in the home. Mom and dad, you got to take it on. Mom and dad, you got to be able to willing to say, I'm going to be a companion in the tribulation of my children. Mom and dad, you've got to be that person who's willing to go under the pressures. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that you may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What is he telling us? Through much tribulation, through many pressures, we must enter the kingdom of God. If you think that being a Christian is easy, you better think again. If you got a document that says you are a believer and it's a primrose to life, you got the wrong document. You haven't met the Lord. If you don't experience pressures in this life, something's missing in your life that's not from the Lord. Because in this world, you're going to find pressures. Are we going to be a part of that? For instance, in that night that when I received the call, that Jim Cooper's son, they were bringing him home. They were bringing him home to do what? They were bringing him home to die. And they took him and they put him in a chair. Why did they bring him home to die? He was dying. And he said his last request was he wanted to be home with his friends. So they brought him home and they put him in the middle of the room. And many of his buddies and all were surrounding there in the room, and they watched the life flow out of him. Traumatic experience. That's the pressures of life. That's reality. That was a young man who knew Christ. He loved his friends, wanted to be a part of his friends, and he wanted to be with his friends. He wanted his friends to be a part of him when the angels came after him. Listen, folks. Each of us are going to have pressures in our life. Be it a child, be it a daughter, be it a son, relative, friend, father, mother. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I can remember there in Fernbank, Alabama, sitting on the front row right about there, in which I went down on the front row and all I could do was weep. Because the night before my son had gone out to the river and gone to a party and he was drunk and he couldn't even raise his head up. And I had to go and I had literally to tote him home. And when I came up to preach that morning, I had to stand up before people and I had to say, look, God loves you. But folks, I was in the pressure pit. And I sat right there and I remember Bill came down and he put his arm around me. He didn't say nothing. He didn't know what was going on. But folks, I knew what was going on. The pressures of life were upon me. I needed God. Each of you are going to have pressure moments and situations. Are we going to cry out? Are we going to be willing to go in? Are we going to be willing to open up the doors of our heart, the doors of our life, to let Jesus Christ come in and be Lord? If you are a brother, you will be a companion. He says, a companion in tribulation. But secondly, you will be a companion in what? In the kingdom of God. As he tells us right there, companion in the kingdom of God, what is he trying to tell us? John has said, look, not only that, but I'm a companion in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is where God rules and reigns. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is a sovereign place. What is the kingdom? That's the royal power of Jesus Christ. What is the kingdom? That's the power of the Christian message. That's when Christ was coming in. What is the kingdom? That's where God rules and reigns. So the question that I ask you this morning, are you a brother? Does God rule and reign in your heart and in your life? Does God rule and reign in your home? Is your voice, is your mind, is your body, is it to be given over to Jesus? John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached from that time. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. For if you are not born again, you will not even see the kingdom of God. You see? You must be born again. He went on to say in John 3:5, he said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus answered in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If we're going to be under the authority, if we're going to hear, if we're going to see, if we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, we must be born again. And when you are born again, then you come under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's what He's calling us out to do. Be under His authority. In Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Romans 14:7, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put all rule and authority and power under His feet. The King is coming. The King is coming. And when the King comes, He's going to be ruling and reigning. And in authority, He will lift up heaven and earth to Jesus. But what must we do? Who will rise to teach the Word of God? Who will care for these young people who've accepted Christ? Who will open up the doors and the minds and the hearts of children so that they might hear Jesus Christ? Who will give of their time during the week to love somebody? Who will say, Jesus, You are more important to me than my job. You are more important to me than my fun time. Jesus, You are more important to me than everything that I am. Jesus, I am under Your authority. That's what He's calling for. Anything less is not a characteristic of a brother. You see, somebody's got to cut the grass around here. Somebody's got to clean up around here. Somebody's got to pay for the lights around here. Somebody's got to work on the parking lot around here. Somebody's got to work on these Sunday school classes around here. Somebody's got to feed the people around here. Somebody, but who is that somebody? That somebody is you. You, if you're under the authority of Jesus Christ, you are the one that God is counting on. Not somebody else, but you. If home churches are going to be started in Cuba, somebody's got to rise up and say, I don't know, I've never been to seminary, I've never been to college, but I know God, and I'm going to open up His book and I can read and the Holy Spirit can talk to me and I'll talk. You know what they're doing in Cuba? They're having home churches. And they've already outgrown all the churches there, and they can't build more churches. They don't. You have to go through all kind of legal hoops to have churches built. They're building a few along the way. But what's happening is home churches. And you know what? They're getting so many people in some of the rooms, they're taking out all the funeral, all the furniture. And in other houses, you know what they're doing? They're knocking out walls in their homes so that people can come and have a place to worship. That's what He's calling us to do. And if they're doing that there, then what about us? Are we waiting for the Lord's return? What is a brother? A brother is going to be a companion in tribulation, in the pressures of life. A brother is one who is under the kingdom authority of Jesus Christ. And number three, a brother is patient. And patience of Jesus Christ. What is a brother? That word patience of Jesus Christ means steadfast in wanting. One definition said in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Nothing will take my focus off of Jesus Christ. I am persuaded, though life or death or any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And John said the characteristic of a brother is one who's looking forward. He is focused on Jesus Christ coming. And his life reflects it. It is, no doubt, the most important in his life today. John was there saying, I'm waiting for the urgency. I'm waiting for Christ to come back. And I want my soul to be good, where when the seeds of the gospel are planted in my soul, there's fruit. And I'm going to be there. God, speak to me. And let there be a harvest in me. Not 20, not 10, but 30, 40, 50, 100-fold. Let the Word of God do its place in my life. And so therefore, John says, I'm there. I'm focused. I'm ready. Maybe it was like John Desworth, one of our Baptist men, He had six sons and his wife. Back in the Inquisition, when the Roman Catholic Church turned around and said to a group of people, you cannot worship God in your own language. You cannot preach the Bible in which a language in which people can hear. And you cannot be poor because this is for the rich society. We will not allow you to do that. And because you don't follow us, we will kill you. And that's exactly what happened. The Inquisition, the guys came out. John Deswart, a believer in Jesus Christ. What did he do? They took him and his wife and two of his children. They were taking him to burn him at the stake. The neighbors heard about it and went and found two of the other sons that were not there. And they said, look, go run and hide. But the two boys said, no, we will die with our father and our mother. And so therefore they came up. And as they were approaching, the father saw them coming. And he said to them, sons, are you ready to go with us to the New Jerusalem? And the two boys said, we are. And with that, in the city of Laos, father and mother and six sons all were burned at the stake together for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's a brother. That's a sister. That's somebody that cares. God's calling us. John said, I, John, your brother, your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of God and in the patience of Jesus Christ. I, John, was in the Isle of Patmos. Why? For two reasons. For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to go all the way? John was. He was a brother for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What about us? Where does that leave us today? What do you want us to do, Pastor? One, I want you to be born again. Two, I want you to be a brother. That's it. I want you to be born again. And I want you to be a brother or sister in Christ. It's not what I want to do. It comes straight out of God's Word. God says in His Word, are you a brother? Are you willing to share the pressures of life? Are you willing to go through tribulation in your home and in others? It's coming your way. Folks, mark it down. Every person is either fixing to go into a storm, in a storm, or just came out of a storm. It's one of the three. It's one of the three pressures. I'm a companion. I'm going to be a brother. Somebody in my Sunday school class needs me. Some young person needs me. Some single mom needs me. Somebody needs me, and I'm willing to give of my lifetime and talents and all that I am for the gospel of Jesus Christ, be it overseas or be it right here at home. I'll be a companion. I'll live my life under the authority of God, and I will stay focused on Jesus Christ coming back. And that's going to be the main thing in my life. Are you a brother? Are you a sister? Maybe this morning, some of us need to step up to the plate. Maybe some of us this morning says, you know, I've been messing around long enough. I know what you're saying is true, preacher. But I'm ready now. Because you see, our church is called to pray. And folks, when we start praying the way God wants us to pray, then God will send the power the way God wants the power to come. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. Humble ourselves. Pray and seek His face. That's what He's calling for. You know Christ? Are you a brother? Is there somebody that needs you? Prayer altars are open. Some may need to join this church. Some may need to be born again. What is God calling you today? When we stand after a prayer, we have a word of prayer, and when we stand, God's calling us out to service, folks. God's calling us out to service, and I, John, your brother, and I want to say I, Robert, your brother, in tribulation, and in the authority of Christ, and the focus of Christ return. Listen, let's join together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Time is too short for us to play church. Time is too short. We got to be dealing with a real thing. And that's totally coming from the heart. all the way for Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, I have seen in Your Word what has happened to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I confess to You today, Lord, that I've been a wimp. I confess to You today, Lord, that I have not been sold out the way that You wanted me to be sold out. But God, everything, as much as within me is, Lord, I commit unto You afresh this day my heart, my soul, for Jesus Christ. And Father, I know there's other brothers and sisters in this building right here who need to come to grips and be a brother in Christ. Lord, I pray for those souls who've been saved to stand up for Jesus. Follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Lord, I pray for those who will stand up today. I'm going to do it God's way, and that's it. There is no other option for me. I'm going to do it God's way. Father, making those decisions today are big decisions for each individual. Now, Lord, we glorify You. Holy Spirit, this is Your invitation. May people respond the way You want them to. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and pray.
Hymn 602.